Welcome to the first ever 5th and Inches podcast. I'm your host, Alex. We're joined by this week by Andy. So it's a pretty big deal, I guess. You know, first podcast, so it's pretty exciting. You must be pretty excited to be our first honorable guest, aren't you?
Pretty exciting.
You don't have to fake anything. You can just say whatever you want. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would be not very excited.
Oh, I'm extremely excited. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. All right, well, you know, I don't know. I'm doing podcasts because I think it's the next step. It's based off, you know, the blogs. I don't know if you've read them very much.
Yeah, I've read a few of them, yeah.
But, yeah, it's based off the blogs, and so I'm thinking about doing this every week. So I thought podcasts were kind of the next step. I don't know what would be... What would be next from after the podcast? Maybe I should get this thing a Facebook or something.
I'd do a Facebook.
Yeah. Or like create a fan for the Facebook or something. And I see how many people that actually like what I do, or see a bunch of comments about people that hate me or something. I don't know. What would you put?
I don't know. I'm good with Facebook group. That sounds like the logical next step.
Facebook or Twitter? Do you have Twitter?
I do not have Twitter.
You don't have Twitter?
I don't have Twitter.
Okay. Well, anyways, we'll stop talking about this whole new development. Are you a Sidney Crosby guy?
I am not a Sidney Cade guy.
Are you a Ovechkin guy?
I am a Patrick Kane guy.
You're Patrick Kane. Okay, I can dig that. So you must be rooting for the Canadians then against the Pens, right?
I do. I like Halleck. I like Halleck. I like what he does for the Canadians.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did watch the game last night.
It was a pretty sweet environment, I thought. I guess, I don't know, I mean, I've been kind of spoiled watching the Blackhawks all year because they have a great environment there, but it hasn't seemed that way this whole playoffs. I mean, they've seemed to play maybe their worst, especially in the Canucks series here.
True.
At home. I mean, I don't know what the heck's happening.
I don't know. This playoff seems to be win on the road and don't win at home. Chicago has a lot of young guys, especially a rookie goalie. And
they had Javi Bulin, like you've told me before, and I mean, he was good, and now he's with Edmonton or something like that?
I believe so, yes.
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, they've drafted so well, obviously, getting Taze and Kane in there and all those guys, and Buff and all those guys. Why can't just goalie has never been on their list of things to do, I guess.
I don't know. I like Niemi, though. I think he's good. He makes a couple of rookie mistakes, but I feel like he can be a good one in the future.
You think he's growing based on these playoffs?
I believe so.
He
got thrown into a playoff situation as a rookie and taken over a veteran like Niemi. So,
when did Huey lose his job? Didn't he start the season?
He started the season, yes, but gave up too many goals and gave Niemi a chance, and he took it in stride.
I can't believe that he would come in and he's an undrafted free agent, right?
True.
As a rookie.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And it's the best thing about him is I think that when he has a good game, you can tell, and he seems unstoppable. He might give up one or two goals, but that's just the NHL these days.
Yeah. In this series, Luongo has said that he's so far in the series been the second best goal on the ice, and that's Luongo's one of the league elites.
Yeah.
So,
imagine if the Blackhawks had Luongo, though. I mean, would they ever lose a game, you think?
I don't know. It'd be pretty tough for them to lose a game with a goalie like Luongo.
Well, what do you expect of the Blackhawks tonight? Are they going to... They seem to play... The two games they played in Vancouver, they murdered them.
Yeah, they did pretty well in Vancouver. As long as QA tones down the rebounds and... Their defense has been a little sketchy with the puck. But other than that, I feel like they've gone to Vancouver, and they'll get it done.
You mean Niemi?
Yeah.
Takes down on the rebounds. Yeah, that was the problem with Luongo when in the Vancouver games, especially. I noticed he was puck was getting away from him a couple times, and that seems to be the key in every series and in these NHL playoffs so far.
Yeah.
No, but who on the Blackhawks do you think is their most important player? Like. I think Niemi, obviously, if he's playing well, then they're going to win. But who do you think, from defense to the front line, who do you think, if they're on one night, then there's a pretty solid chance that they're going to get a win?
Well, you saw, I believe it was Game 3, Big Buff with a hat trick. When he's on and he's in front of the goal and he's making plays, seems like they're unstoppable.
He's a fun guy to watch. He just watch him even after the whistle blows. He's throwing some cheap shots in there, or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah. He's big guy. He's probably one of the biggest ones in the league, and gets his body in there, and not easy to stop that guy.
Okay. So we hope that they win tonight in Vancouver and just get this series over with, because it's already gone too long. They should have taken care of business in the United Center a couple days ago. But were you happy that San Jose won over Detroit, or would you have rather seen Detroit in the next round to face Chicago?
I think Detroit has too many veterans on them, and I think if they would have gone, they probably would have beat the Blackhawks like last year.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was thinking that I would much rather see the Sharks, who are really talented,
Yeah. Obviously,
but I think they've been obviously very disappointing in the past few playoffs, so they're pretty young and haven't been to, you know, Western Conference Finals yet. But, you know, can we count on Chicago to be good every game, or is it going to be a lot tougher series than we expect?
I think it'll be a tough series, but one of the things, like I said earlier, the playoffs have brought, it was a lot of road victories, and since San Jose is the number one seed in the West, Chicago will be on the road a lot, and they have shown that they can win on the road, and they have a lot of good young guys like Taze and Kane, and I think they'll get it done in San Jose.
Have we just not heard about San Jose as much this year? I mean, they kind of seem like a quiet number one seed that we haven't really heard much out of until they've come into these playoffs. I mean, I think all season long, the Blackhawks have been kind of like the unanimous top team in the league, but yet they're a number two seed in the playoffs.
Yeah, San Jose has been consistent. That's one of the things they're good with, is consistency. The Blackhawks started great, kind of had a little sketchy in the season. That's how they ended with the number two seed. But I think Blackhawks are just, they can keep it all together and cut down the turnovers with the stupid pucks, stupid turnovers. I think they'll be good.
See, I don't know about you, but if I played hockey, I'd wear number 88.
I'd wear number 88.
And I would chew on my mouth guard all day long.
Sport the mullet.
Yeah, cut some slits into it on the side like Kane has. Yeah, that'd be, I think that's the new look in hockey. I think next year you'll see a lot of people
sporting the mullet.
Yeah. And then, let's see, on the other side, Bruins were up 3-0, weren't they? And now the Flyers have beat the crap out of them the past two games. You know, I was ready to call it season over for the Flyers, but I don't think I can do that anymore.
Yeah, the only thing they have going against them is, granted, they do have a new goalie in there who is who's pretty good, but I think the loss of Boucher will hurt them since he's out with a knee injury.
They've really struggled with that this year, haven't they? Injuries have kind of hurt him a lot.
Yeah, it has.
But Daniel Briere looks real good, doesn't he?
He looks great.
You know, let's say that the conference finals look like this. Let's say it's Chicago, San Jose, and let's say, just for the sake of argument, it's Pittsburgh, and Boston somehow finds a way not to choke like they always have. First, on the Eastern Conference side, I hate to say it, but don't you think that Pittsburgh somehow, although they're not the best team in that conference and they shouldn't be have gone this far, I mean, don't you think if that's the way everything looked next week, that they would be a team somehow that sneaks into the Stanley Cup Finals?
I think so. They are the returning champions, and they do have Sid the Kid, and they got Malkin, and they have a decent goalie. I think they can get it done against the Habs.
I hate to say that, though, don't you?
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like the Penguins are turning into, like, the Yankees, and everybody's going to start hating them. I already hate Sid the Kid, and because I'm an Ovechkin guy. One, because he has my name, and two, because he's, I think, far more exciting than Crosby.
He is a very exciting player.
And then in the West, you said it's going to be a tough series. I think the most interesting thing to watch there is the goals that are going to be scored, because I think both offenses are just going to be flying around like crazy with two goaltenders that aren't really the best in the league at all.
Both teams have good goal scorers.
Goal scorers, yeah. That would be a fun bet. The over-under on how many goals are going to be scored, like, per game or per or for the series even. What do you think? What number would you put on that?
I don't know. Huey's given up most five in a game, and I think Blackhawks can easily put up at least four a game. So it's going to be quite a few goals.
Should be a fun series to watch, shouldn't it?
Should be a great series to watch.
And it's good for the people that don't get versus, too, because Blackhawks will be on Comcast if you're in Illinois.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you think? If the next round breaks down like that, we have Pittsburgh winning and we have Chicago?
Yeah.
Is that the finals? Do you think it would be, how awesome would it be, I guess, to see the Blackhawks in the finals against Pittsburgh and potentially beat them? Beat the Kings, basically.
It'd be great. They have a lot of young guys. They deserve it. Haven't had a championship there in a while. Haven't had a championship in Chicago for a while, except for the White Sox, but...
Yeah. Do you think they could have done it last year?
They could have, but I think they just had too much youth. Kane and Taze kind of came in their own this year, and I think they've got a couple years under them now, and I think they really know what it takes to win.
The thing I'm immediately looking for is I want to see an awesome Game 7 between Montreal and Pittsburgh, because Game 6 was awesome, but Game 5 was horrible. It was boring, and Montreal couldn't do anything.
True.
But like you said, you just said a little bit ago, here's a segue into the next thing we could talk about. You said Chicago hasn't had a title in a long time besides the White Sox. Well, the Cubs, how are they doing so far this year, you think?
Not great. They still have the most inconsistent offense I've seen ever. They have the offense to score 20 runs a game, but they're scoring two.
They have and they've had that every year, haven't they? I mean,
true, yeah.
That roster is a roster that should win. All those players have a lot of talent, but they never do. I mean, there could be a curse on them, but I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it's just inconsistency. When their offense is doing good, their pitching's off. But at the beginning of the year, their pitching was great. They had probably one of the lowest ERAs in the MLB, but they just couldn't score runs.
They have Starlin Castro now, who has one of the best names in baseball. Right when he got called up, immediately Starlin's just...
The man.
He better be a star. Or else he's going to have to change his name, I think. But so he had the huge first game. How crazy were you going after that?
It was pretty crazy. I got up, and as soon as he hit his home run, I went out and told my dad. He's played a little sketchy lately, though, with the three errors yesterday.
Yeah, is he one of those cases where he's all bat and no skill in the field?
Well, one of the things he is also praised for is his glove, but he also talked yesterday about his nerves being his first game ever at Wrigley Field, being the number one prospect for the Chicago, being so highly talked about, and he just didn't have a great game at home because he let his nerves get the best of him.
Can you imagine being labeled as the top prospect and basically the hope for all the Cubs fans? Then once you're called up, I mean... How ridiculously nervous would you be?
I don't know. I'd be ridiculously nervous. Granted, he got called up from AA, so it's not like he's had AAA experience at all. So he's going from AA to... He's just completely skipping AAA, which is... He's completely skipping from, like, a mediocre league to, obviously, the best league in all of baseball.
Yeah. How good do you think he'll be?
If he can get his nerves in control, I think he'll be great.
This year?
I think he can do good this year. It's got a crazy swing, but it makes contact. He doesn't strike out a lot. He hits for a high average. And you can see in game one, he can produce a lot of RBIs, getting six RBIs in his first major league game.
Do you think the Cubs did the right thing in calling him up from AA and completely skipping AAA? Because I look at how the Nationals are dealing with Steven Strasburg right now, who clearly, from all of his performances in the minor leagues, he should be in the majors right now. But no, he started in AA and now he's in AAA, and he'll probably be called up soon, and I can almost guarantee you that he'll be a hit.
Yeah, I think they needed someone to fill a spot at shortstop, because their second baseman wasn't hitting, and Ryan Theriault has experience at second base. They knew they could move him to second base. And Starlin was hitting, and he was the most major league ready out of anyone, even though there was shortstops in AAA like Darwin Barney, who they said would probably be the next call up, but they'd rather have Stellan Castro, who knows how to hit, knows how to play, and they thought he was ready. Then he showed first game he was. Granted, he was a little nervous in his last game, but...
Does Starlin take Terrio's spot at second base and then Barney's called up for shortstop?
I don't think so. I think Terrio's hitting, he's the good leadoff man. He's hitting for a pretty good average this year. If anything, Darwin Barney will probably be a September call-up and just be a backup on the bench. He might take either Jeff Baker's or Mike Fontenot's role in the future, but I don't see him taking Terrio's spot.
Okay. Where is Castro right now in the lineup?
He is the eighth hitter right now.
Oh, could he be a potential leadoff hitter if Terrio starts just, you know, striking out every other bat?
I think the next logical choice for leadoff would be, because in spring training they had a battle between Terrio and Fukudome.
Oh, okay.
And Fukudome showed he can get on base. So if Terrio stumbles, I think it'll be Fukudome next. Stellan Castro, he's more of like a power hitter. He knows how to get on base, but I feel like he's a better power hitter, so he'd be good in like the 4 or 5 slot behind Lee Ramirez and Marlon Byrd, so almost like a 6 spot in the Cubs lineup, but he'd be like a 3, 4, 5 hitter in any other lineup.
So you think Soriano and Derek Lee are going to come through this year? And just, I think Derek Lee is the one guy that a lot of people think he'll explode this year, but I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
I hope
that?
So. He's started last year off not very great, and then he ended last year as one of the hottest hitters in baseball. He started slow again this year, but I think he's good enough. He'll pick it up. Same with, Soriano started off the year good. I hope he can stay good. He's healthy this year. He says he feels good. He's been hitting good. He has his own hitting coach back from when he was in Texas, Rudy Jaramillo. I think he'll do great.
You think Strasburg will be good? Real good?
If he keeps pitching like he is now, I think he'll do great. He's a young kid, obviously knows how to pitch. Got that fastball over 100 miles an hour. I like it.
How happy would you be to have Tony Gwynn as your coach like Strasburg had in college?
That'd be it'd be pretty great. Have the greatest hitter of all time as your coach.
Yeah. I guess it's better for hitters, maybe.
Yeah, better for hitters.
Do you think the Cubs stand any chance to get better than third place with, I think, the Cardinals? And the Cardinals are obviously playing really well, and they're the clear favorites to win the division.
Yeah.
I think the Brewers are the only team close to being able to challenge them.
Pretty much. Granted, Pittsburgh has had a couple good series. They swept the Cubs. They've had a couple pretty good series, but I just don't think they'll keep up. Milwaukee, not sure about them. The Cubs, they gotta stay consistent. They gotta score runs. That's the biggest thing that they've had issues with, is scoring runs.
So, the Cubs are coming under new ownership or something, are they?
Yes.
My dad was talking to me about this the other day. Do you think they'll keep Pinella for very long?
Well, one thing that people are so highly talking about is Ryan Sandberg. Because a couple years ago, when Lou Pinella interviewed for his job with general manager Jim Henry, Ryan Sandberg called him, and Jim Henry thought it was just a fun call, but it turned into a job interview. And then Ryan Sandberg got the single A job at Peoria, and then
he's with the Chiefs now, right?
And then he went to then he actually moved up the next year to Tennessee, took them to the championship. Granted, they lost, but now he's in AAA, and I think he's the logical next choice for the Cubs manager. He'd be a fan favorite. He's proven himself as a good manager, and he's great with players. He'd be a great Cubs manager.
I think that's the thing, too, is that everybody would love him, and he would be... He's obviously the logical next choice because he was a Cub, and he'll immediately, you know, grow a liking from all the fans, and I think they'd be pretty happy and pretty hopeful about the future with him up there. How old is he? Or how young is he?
Played in the 80s. Can't be that old. Probably 50s.
They still like Pinella at Wrigley?
I think one of the things you have with Chicago fans is they want you to win. Granted, his first 2 years there, Cubs won the division twice. Mm-hmm. They got swept in the playoffs, which I think kind of angered fans, and you have to have someone to blame. And I think the blame's going on Piniella here, and he's kind of lost his fire. He used to be this big guy who would go out there and argue every single call, and now he's a little bit more laid back.
Yeah.
And then you have someone like Ryan Sandberg. He gets ejected from many games. He's a fiery coach. I think people are ready for him.
Why do you think Piniella has changed, though? I get the feeling that Major League Baseball kind of changed the rules a little bit to where umpire, you're not allowed to argue balls and strikes at all.
Right.
And I think that's part of how Piniella's not arguing as much. It's because he doesn't just want to go out there and get thrown out of every single game. I think they've kind of made it a lot tougher and a lot less fun for the fans.
True.
Who don't get to see Piniella go out there and get thrown out every game, or just throw his hat and kick some dirt on the bags and all that stuff. But here's my thought about the Cubs manager. How about you bring Dusty Baker back? Bring him back, because you guys had your best team when he was your manager.
2003, yeah. We're 6 outs away from the World Series. We won't talk about the events that happened that led to the Cubs' demise. But
you still have nightmares?
Not really. I mean, any fan would have done the same thing. Granted, it was looked like Alou could have gotten that ball, but there's no saying what could have happened, even if Alou would have caught that ball.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, you might know this, but do most Cub fans who go to the games, do they know, like, that's the seat that Bartman sat in when he screwed us?
I've sat near that seat, and I couldn't tell you which one it exactly is. There's not, like, a... We all know the general area, the third base side.
Yeah. Right by the rolled tarp, I think, after it.
Yeah, it's a little bit past the tarp in the bullpen. It's like where it starts to rise up a little bit. It's just in the reach of Moises Alou, and I don't know.
Right, you guys have the bullpen on the field, don't you?
That we do.
Maybe that's why you're never winning. Because your pitcher is scared of getting hit, so they don't warm up as much. Do you think that's pretty cool to have bullpens on the field?
It's pretty traditional. I think there's no way, like, that's the way Wrigley Field's been since it was created. And
I like how they've never really changed anything.
They've done a few renovations and haven't really changed much, no. Other than the biggest change that I've seen so far is when Soriano signed and they put the Under Armour logos on the walls in the outfield. That was probably the biggest change I've ever seen at Wrigley.
Not gonna lie, I don't like those. Every time I watch a game on TV, I'm not a big fan. Like, the yard, the feet markers, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they need all those vines and everything covering that wall. That just makes the game fun,
I think.
Where's the best seat in Wrigley?
Best seat in Wrigley?
Yeah, because I'm looking at going to a game this summer.
I think you got to enjoy sitting in the bleachers. Everyone's there. It's a fun atmosphere. You get all the outfielders interact with you, especially Marlon Byrd and Alfonso Soriano. They like to interact with the fans. I feel like that'd just be a fun environment to be in.
And everyone's drunk.
True.
Where do you get the tickets for whatever it is, the bleachers that are like across the street or something on top of the built apartments or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Not sure.
I feel like that's some separate thing from that. Anyways, how good are the Giants this year? Their pitching is there this year, and Barry Zito's back, and you know Matt Kame and Lincecum are going to be good. They easily are going to challenge the Cardinals for the World Series to get into the World Series representing the National League. Might even be better than them.
True, yeah. Just the NL West overall has had great pitching. I mean, you have look at, like, pitchers like Ubaldo Jimenez, who was
Rockies.
Yeah, with the Rockies. But I do think the Giants will pose a big threat to the Cardinals. They're got solid pitching. They got good veterans like Aaron Rowand, and you got Pablo Sandoval, who was always a good hitter. And they've got great pitching.
How does Pablo manage to just go out there every day? I mean, he is just large.
He is a large man, yes.
Then in the American League, I guess you have the Yankees and the Rays in either order. I don't know what you would put them in. But who do you think is next in line there to challenge those two teams? In my opinion, I think the Twins have it this year. I think with Liriano being as good as he has started,
and you have,
I think that's the key for them.
You have Joe Mauer and Morneau there, mm-hmm. and got great pitching, great hitting. Just overall, I like the setup in Minnesota.
And Span's been pretty good too. Yeah. I have him on my fantasy team, and he's been a solid outfielder for me this year.
Span's been, yeah, he's been pretty good, and you can always trust in Mauer.
Yeah. Have you seen the new stadium on TV or anything like that?
I have seen, yeah.
It's nice.
It is pretty nice.
I'm not going to lie, the first time I saw it, though, I was kind of in shell shock because I was like, what, the Twins outdoors? Like, what is this?
It's been a little sketchy. It was probably a little sketchy earlier in the season. It'll be a little sketchier in kind of late September, October.
When they get a game rained out, they're all going to just be confused out of their minds. Like, why aren't we playing today? They're going to be like, there's rain on the ground? What?
I think in October they're going to have to worry about snow outs there.
Oh yeah, because it's in Minnesota. Yeah, that's very true. That might not be too good either if they're still going, you know.
But I think eventually they'll be able to use that to the advantage. I mean, you look at turning the table at NFL, you look at Lambeau, you look at Soldier Field. Those teams are so good in that cold weather. Even the Broncos, they're so good in cold weather. And I think the longer players play in Minnesota at Target Stadium, they're just going to get used to the weather. Other people aren't going to be used to it. Like, you bring the Rays to Minnesota, they're used to the tropics. They're not going to be able to handle the weather there.
That's true. And let's talk about the Bears next, actually. Because the draft just ended, like, 3 weeks ago, but I mean, how did you think they did? They picked up, I think the one thing that caught my eye is Dan LeFever. They picked him up. Is he your next quarterback, basically?
I think so. They're looking for a veteran backup, but I think looking in the future, I think they felt like they got a steal with Dan LeFever, and I think he'd be a great backup in the future to Jay Cutler, and I feel like he's a future starter. I think he's was a dark horse in the draft.
You think? Do you think they had an overall good draft?
They had a decent draft. I would have liked to seen what they would have done in the first and second round, but can't complain. They got a good safety from Florida.
What was their record this year? The Bears.
I believe they were 6-9.
So they would have been they would have picked like 10-20.
Something like that, probably.
Who would you have wanted in the first round for them?
In the first round, I would have liked to seen like a bigger safety,
like Earl Thomas. You would have liked to see him fall.
I actually would have liked to seen Eric Berry fall.
Yeah, he wasn't gonna fall though. So safety, Mike Brown is no longer anything good at all.
I think he would have been better than what they had this year, though.
You guys should have picked Tebow. Should have just traded all your picks. Went Ricky Williams, Mike Ditka style, and just drafted Tebow, like, number one overall. Just laid your whole franchise on him. That's what I think.
I like Cutler. I don't think I think Tebow is going to have a few years to mature, and I don't think he'll do bad in the pros. Granted, he's got to work on his
He's got the best-selling jersey, though.
That's true, but jerseys don't make you a great player.
I think it sucks, too, for Denver. Well, for Josh McDaniels, because I think he would have done really well in Denver. But I think when his contract is up in Denver and Tebow is not the greatest starter in the NFL, and he compared him to Tom Brady recently, when he's not Tom Brady, I think they could fire him. Unless they're a successful playoff team, which I think they can be. But actually, I think they kind of threw that out the door a little bit for the next couple of years by trading Brandon Marshall, who I just love completely. Him and Chad Johnson are just awesome receivers. So you like Cutler?
I like Cutler.
You don't want to see him throw 4 interceptions against the Packers, though, do you?
I don't, but I feel like that was combined with, you look at some of his interceptions, they're missed routes by rookies like Johnny Knox.
Oh.
But you look later in the season, he toned down the interceptions. Like his last couple games, he had probably his best game, especially against the Vikings. And you have, they had good receivers coming up, like Johnny Knox, who ended up going to the Pro Bowl. And then you have Devin Aromashidu, who had great games his last couple games.
Yeah, he looks very, very good. I'll give you that.
Kyler's been saying from the first game that he wanted Aromashidu to play because he's the big guy that he was looking for.
And Kyler played a lot better in his second game against the Packers
than
the first game, which he just, you know, basically threw out all hope that the Bears fans had for any season at all, really.
True.
What do you think about Hester? Is he ever going to get it? Is he ever going to just, is it going to click for him?
I think
a lot of people want it to click for him.
Yeah, I hope it clicks for him. They need to move him to more like a slot receiver because he's not a number one receiver. He played DB in college, played DB a few years with the Bears, didn't do so great. So I don't think he's ready for number one receiver. I think he'd be good in the slot, be good as like a check down receiver because he's got the speed, he's got the moves, he's shown that when he was a kick returner. I think he'd be good at that.
Why can't the Bears just like look at the Eagles and see what they do with DeSean Jackson? I mean, Sean Jackson's like a wildcat back sometimes.
True, yeah.
And put him in there, and then when he's a receiver, just throw him a bunch of screens and have like all four receivers on one side and just three of them blocking and throw it to Hester.
That would be good, although last year Ron Turner did run quite a few screens and they were not very successful. But
he's gone.
He is gone, and they've got Marks now and Martz now.
I would be, if I was a Bears fan, which I'm not, I'm a Packers fan, so let's get that straight, which you know that, but the fans don't. I would be really excited to have Martz. I don't know why he wasn't the first guy you guys were going after. You guys wanted Cutler's old coach, Bates or something like that,
yeah.
And he went to USC.
Yeah.
I don't know why Martz wasn't the first guy. I mean, Martz was stellar with the Rams.
Yeah, he was. I don't know why he wasn't the number one. Yeah. They were also looking at Charlie Weiss.
Yeah.
And
which I would have been fine with.
Yeah, I would have been fine with, but Martz likes to pass the ball. And that was one of the things that Lovie Smith always loves to run the ball. He loves to run the ball, and Martz loves to pass the ball. I mean, the Rams, they had the greatest show on earth. They had a good quarterback, great receivers.
So, you think he can do that? You think it'll be the Soldier Show or something like that in a couple years?
I certainly hope so. The one thing...
They need a stud receiver.
They do need a stud receiver. And the one thing that I don't like about Martz is he doesn't use tight ends. And there's been talks about trading Greg Olsen. I think that'd be a bad idea. I think him and Cutler are good friends on and off the field.
Yeah.
And he's a key target. And
I think he was like his main target, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was like his main target last year.
He can potentially be that, especially. I mean, Greg Olsen's one of the best tight ends in the league, whether you like it or not. He's real good. And especially in the red zone, you know, you don't want Cutler making all these mistakes. Well, you need a good tight end then.
True, yes.
So you think Martz will be good?
I think Martz will do good.
Yeah. They should have traded for Brandon Marshall. Like, holy cow.
I would have liked to see Brandon Marshall or even Anquan Boldin.
Okay, yeah. But I do like where Boldin is right now with the Ravens because also needed a stud receiver.
Yeah.
I think everybody in the league has to watch out for the Ravens now. But holy cow, like imagine, you know, you're bringing Cutler back with Marshall. They were just together 1 year ago. And that, I think, would have been a lethal combination.
That would have been a great combination.
It would have been fun to watch, too. I mean, Marshall alone is fun to watch. But yeah, so you're pretty confident with them. How do you think the Bears will do then this year? You think it'll be kind of a learning curve year?
I think, I don't know. I'm not really sure yet.
Yeah.
It depends.
There's a while. We're just in like rookie camps right now.
It's whether or not the offense can switch to Martz's offensive scheme. I think Kyler knows how to do it. He's a go there, go out and get him guy. He knows how to throw the ball, but the only question is, can he tone down his interceptions with a more pass-heavy offense?
People compared him to Brett Favre when he was coming out, didn't they?
I believe they did, yes.
I think so. Well, I don't know if he'll play as long as Brett Favre, though. You think he's coming back? You think Favre's coming back?
He says he needs the ankle surgery, and there was a report saying that he told an unnamed player that he would never put on pads again.
Yeah.
But he does like to have the spotlight on him.
Yeah. I don't like him anymore, even. I mean, it's just... He's a drama queen now.
It's gotten beat the Brett Favre show rather than about football. I think he wanted to win one last championship, and
then he threw an interception to the guy who would pick off the basically game-winning ball of the Super Bowl.
True.
Who he should be getting paid a lot, by the way. I forget his name on the Saints, but the Vikings, I feel like they just need a solid quarterback. Like, Jackson's not a solid quarterback in any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like if they just get in a solid, you know, quarterback who can hand the ball off and throw it on third down, I think they're fine. Because I think Adrian Peterson took a real backseat, which was really unnecessary this year, Brett Favre. Especially later in the season, I think.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that they didn't address in the draft, was it seems like we're still waiting for Brett Favre to come back. They think they have a good quarterback in Jackson or Rosenfels. I feel like they would have done better getting someone in the draft.
See, and I mean, the Vikings, along with every team in the NFL, they had this draft, more than anything, they had great chances to take a solid quarterback.
They did,
I mean,
yes.
McCoy and Clawson and, Lefevre even, they didn't need to drop that far, especially Clawson. The Vikings had the number 30 pick in the draft, and like for Clawson to fall that far and to think he was in consideration probably for the number one pick,
yeah,
or people were like calling the Rams to get that pick and take Clawson with that pick. I mean, you got to think, like, you should have taken him there, and especially think about what happened to Aaron Rodgers, who's
true,
killing you for
exactly
two games a year now,
yeah,
maybe three. Okay, but that's enough NFL, I think. I mean, it's not even that close to the season,
true,
so we can't predict the Bears' season. But let's move to the NBA playoffs real quick. Have you been following them very much?
I have been following, yeah.
The NHL playoffs are killing them this year, though.
They are, yes.
They are so much better, especially when the West, these Western semifinals are sweeps.
You look at, like, what the Magic did. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. The Hawks should be...
ashamed.
The Hawks have good players, too. They're like...
yeah. They might lose Joe Johnson next year, but they still have good players. Yeah.
I mean, they're like the Cubs. The Cubs have good players.
Exactly.
And they should win, but they don't. And granted, the Hawks did win, but then the Magic played them, and they beat the crap out of them.
Then they met Dwight Howard.
And I think... I don't know what you think, but I think any team that is going to meet Dwight Howard and the rest of the Magic this year is going to, you know, have the ball shoved down their throats, basically.
True.
The Magic with Jameer Nelson are really good, I think.
I think the Magic should be the favorite in the East.
I think so, too, because I don't even know if Cleveland is going to win their series. And then if Boston wins, I don't think Boston could keep up. Because, see, Cleveland doesn't have the big man to face up with Kevin Garnett and everything, but the Magic do, and the Magic have everything else.
True.
And Jameer Nelson could guard Rajon Rondo, who's just amazing right now.
Yeah, triple-double last game.
Where do you think, this is something I did want to talk about, where do you think Rondo ranks right now of the players that, or the point guards, sorry, that were in this round, like, let's see, like Deron Williams and Tony Parker and Steve Nash. And who, I don't even know who else. Who else are the point guards in here?
I don't know, but I think you gotta put Steve Nash number one still.
He plays without eyeballs.
Exactly.
That was amazing. And okay, but then okay, so Steve Nash is number one, and that's fair. He helped lead that team to the sweep over the Spurs.
But you look at, like, Rajon Rondo, last year he was a no-name.
Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, and the year before that, you know, they said, oh, let's trade, the fans wanted Rondo traded, and they were like, bring in a good point guard. Well, you got one.
Yeah.
You didn't have to trade for one.
Exactly, and that play he made against LeBron James when James went up to make his patented hit the ball off the backboard and dumped it on to Ray Allen, that was a...
that behind the backer and while he was in the air. That's he'll be good. Now I honestly didn't think, I don't know if you can remember back to when Rondo was drafted, but I didn't think he would be anything. I mean, he just looked like a thin guy that was just going to get knocked around, but all of a sudden, here he is. Do you think he's better than Darren Williams right now in the playoffs?
I think he is. Darren Williams has good guys around him, and coming out of Illinois, but I think Rondo's better. I do believe Rondo's better. He's leading a team of stars. Like, you have Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. I think Rondo's the leader of that team.
Wait, so Rondo's better than Williams. Williams has good people around him. Are those people around Williams better than what Rondo has?
I think Rondo has better people around him, but I still think Rondo's better. He's the leader of a team of great veterans.
Okay. Who is the leader of Utah then?
I'd probably say Darren Williams.
Or Kyle Korver.
Okay. No, I'd say Carlos Boozer before I'd say Kyle Korver.
Yeah, I was just joking about that. I don't think any kid out of Creighton's gonna come in and lead a team to a championship, which they're not doing, obviously. Maybe from out of Indiana State, maybe. Because that's happened once.
Yeah.
Cleveland and Boston play tonight. I don't think Cleveland wins the series. I'm going out on a limb.
I think it goes to 7, but I will take the Celtics.
And if it goes to 7, that means that Cleveland will have 2 home games, but I think this series has proven that the home team is not necessarily going to be the best team, because in 2 of the home games, the home team has been blown out in that series.
True. This is the year for the road team. You look at NHL, you look at NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, the NHL, like, yeah, the teams are better on the road. I don't get it. Do you get it?
I don't get it.
So, yeah, I think Boston wins that series, but I don't think Boston gets past the Magic.
I don't think anyone gets past the Magic. I think the Lakers would put up a good fight against the Magic.
I think actually maybe the best match, like almost equal teams for the Magic, would be the Suns. You have Jameer Nelson and Steve Nash, and like, I guess Dwight would beat Amare easy, but those guys are both athletic. I think the Suns will give everything they got to the Lakers. Yeah, because I think the Suns are looking really good. They haven't. I saw a stat the other day where they haven't lost back-to-back games since like January.
And that's tough to do.
Yeah, especially in the NBA. And when you have Steve Nash playing with one eye and Stoudemire playing with goggles on like he's Horace Grant or something, and then you have like Jared Dudley who's keeping the Iverson Rose, and then you have all these guys whose names you can't pronounce, and then you have Jason Richardson who just steps up.
True.
That's a good team.
It is a great team.
And I think it was awesome to watch the Spurs get beat, because I don't like the Spurs. I mean,
not a fan of the Spurs.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like my hatred for the Yankees, where I hate them because they buy their players, basically. You know, and they have all the money in the world, and, you know, like USC, because they can just recruit anybody they freaking want to. But the Spurs are just old, and they need to go away. So, yeah, that's what I think. So Boston wins tonight, or Cleveland wins tonight?
I like Boston tonight. I think Ray John Mondo will have another good game tonight, and then I think Cleveland will finally allow LeBron to cover Rondo, and I think that'll slow him down. But I like the Celtics.
LeBron can't completely slow him down, can he?
LeBron, nah. Rondo's too fast.
Yeah.
He's small and elusive. 6'1".
It's just
not quite 6'8", but
it's a weird matchup.
Yeah.
And yeah, he could just be like a little mouse running around him, basically. All right, well, I think we're good for this podcast. It's been good. It worked out well, I think.
I think it went well.
I think people will like it.
I certainly hope so.
All right, well, we'll have you on again soon.
All right.
And then for all the fans out there, just, you know, keep coming back.
Keep on keeping on.